Welcome back to Out the Gate, the podcast about sailing and adventure on and around San Francisco Bay. Thanks for joining me. I'm Ben Shaw. In a couple of the past podcast episodes, I've alluded to a trip I took about a year and a half ago on a small mahogany dinghy. I spent a week on the boat, sailing and rowing around San Francisco Bay to better get to know the waters and the currents and the winds. And in this month's issue of Cruising World, May 2019, I have an article with some photos about this trip. It's called Small Wonders, and it's on page 52. And I thought I'd do a short podcast episode here where I don't read word for word, but go over the article and share it with you in case you aren't able to pick up a copy of the magazine and read it for yourself. So, as I said, it's titled Small Wonders. Subtitle is, You don't need a full-size yacht to go cruising, as one intrepid sailor discovered on a week-long adventure aboard a 10-foot sailing dinghy exploring San Francisco Bay. What's the right size for a cruising boat? There are as many options as there are sailors. I've done plenty of cruising on boats from 25 to 50 feet, but I'd never considered a 10-foot sailing dinghy for anything more than a day sail. But when I found an autumn week that was free for sailing in San Francisco Bay, this was the boat I had on hand. I've always admired the wisdom of Lynn and Larry Pardee's advice to, quote, go small, go simple, and go now. I wasn't sure what it would entail to sail and live for a week aboard a small, open boat, but learning was part of the adventure. I prepared my gear, made sure the boat was shipshape, and off I went. First side note here, that boat that I ended up taking on this trip belonged to Captain Heather Richard, the very first guest ever on the Out the Gate Sailing Podcast. Go back and listen to episode one if you haven't heard that interview with Heather. When I was first contemplating this trip, I went to Heather and said, hey, what do you think about this idea? Do you think it's crazy? And she said, no, actually, I have the perfect boat for you to do it in. It has a hole in the bottom. You'll have to fix that first, but it would be a great little boat. So I did fix the hole, and it ended up being the perfect boat. At its heart, cruising's about taking an adventure. It's about discovering beautiful, secluded anchorages and infrequently visited backwaters. It's about meeting new people and making new friends. It's about challenging oneself and being self-sufficient. And I was delighted to find that even aboard the tiniest of vessels, all of these things still held true. I'd planned the trip as a way to learn more about the local waters of my adopted home. I grew up on the East Coast and spent much of my time on Chesapeake Bay. But having lived in California for only 5 years, I still have a lot to learn about the large, shallow estuary on the West Coast. Navigating San Francisco Bay can be challenging on a boat of any size. Strong winds, tricky currents, chilly water, and plenty of commercial traffic can make for dangerous sailing, especially when much of it's often shrouded in fog. I decided to set sail towards the end of September, a month that usually brings tranquil conditions to the region with lighter winds and less fog. I was careful to travel with the tides, usually in the morning before the strong sea breeze kicked in. The boat I had was Puff, a beautiful plywood mahogany sailing dinghy, designed in 1951 by William Ashcraft. The 10-foot Melody class sailboat has a centerboard, one sail, and a central thwart that makes rowing possible. The Melody is often mistaken for the more popular El Toro class, but it's 2 feet longer and 8 inches narrower, with a beam of only 3 feet 3 inches, which isn't much space in which to live. But I did call it home for 7 days, gunk-holing around the bay, tying up or anchoring out each night. The first day, I sailed out of Sausalito and headed north into San Pablo Bay, where I dropped the hook a few hundred yards off China Camp, a former Chinese-American shrimping village on the eastern banks of Marin County. In the late 19th century and early 20th century, this village bustled with thousands of residents who pulled 3 million pounds of shrimp from the bay every year. The last resident of China Camp died in 2016, and the buildings and pier, now a state park, were quiet as I heated dinner on a camping stove and settled in for the night. A quick side note, the last podcast episode featured Luke Mayhew, who was very close friends with that last resident of China Camp. And there's a great story of how he met that gentleman in that podcast. So if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to it. It's a lot of fun. It's toward the end of the episode. Back to the article. Living on a tender 10-foot open boat is like camping atop a high wire. Every move is calculated so as not to tip the boat. Simple tasks require painstaking care. Simply laying out the bed meant moving all my gear, which included anchor, rudder, oars, dry bags with clothes and food, to one side of the boat so I could fit a sleeping bag and a sleeping pad to the other side of the boat. Sleeping was not comfortable, because the same thwart that made rowing possible made turning over once I got situated impossible. But rocking to sleep with my head inches from the water, looking up at the stars, it was more than enough reward for the lack of a comfortable bed. It also meant I was up early the next morning before dawn, in part because I couldn't sleep, but in part because I needed to catch the ebb tide south. As I rowed and sailed, a California sea lion silhouetted against the sunrise popped in and out of my wake, and I headed towards Richmond in the East Bay. I passed the picturesque East Brother Light Station and came to Red Rock, an uninhabited 5.8-acre island that I'd seen when I first drove over the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. And ever since I'd first seen it, I'd just been interested in what this little island was. Russian hunters used to land on the island to trap otters, and there's also rumors that it's the site of buried pirate treasure. So now is my chance to explore it, and I pulled my red boat onto the beach to get a closer look. The only treasures that I uncovered were the San Francisco skyline sparkling in the distance, and up at the top of the island, a red-tailed hawk perched in a lonely pine tree. Despite the small size of my craft, others greeted me as a kindred cruiser. In fact, my excursion piqued interest from many. Sailors I'd never met offered me places to tie up for the night, and my hosts were keen to hear about my trip and share sailing stories of their own. In Richmond, I tied along Molly, Randall Reeves's 45-foot aluminum sloop. Randall was busy preparing his boat for his first figure-eight voyage. I spoke to him on this podcast during his second attempt at that figure-eight voyage, but this was when he was getting ready for his first attempt, which after a knockdown, he decided to abort, came back to San Francisco, and then set off a couple months later. If you haven't listened to the podcast, the interview with Randall, do it. It's from the Southern Ocean. It's fascinating. It's a great story, and he's trying to be the first person ever to circumnavigate both Antarctica and North America by going around the Horn twice, down from San Francisco, around the Horn, and then around Antarctica, back around the Horn, then up and through the Northwest Passage. And currently he's in the North Atlantic on his way to the Northwest Passage. He's going to have to wait a bit before the passage opens up, if it indeed does this year. As I said, Randall was getting ready to head offshore in days, but when I showed up on Puff, he didn't hesitate to welcome me aboard and include me in a bon voyage party with his family and friends, and we chatted aboard Molly, because Puff wasn't much of a place to have guests aboard. But we shared ideas about rigging and discovered mutual friends, and he really took me in as a fellow adventurer, which was fantastic, and gave me a bunk to sleep on in Molly for the night so I didn't have to sleep under that thwart. Be thwarted by the thwart. Sailing clockwise around the bay taught me a great deal about local currents, wind, and traffic. One afternoon, a flood tide nearly pinned me against the Berkeley Pier, a dilapidated dock that extends 3.5 miles into the bay. The third windless morning, I rode nearly 5 miles up the Oakland estuary as ferry wake after ferry wake bounced me around. As I was coming around the San Francisco waterfront, I was caught between a strong current off Pier 39 and an incoming Disney cruise ship, and I had to do some quick tacking. And all the tourists at Pier 39 who had been watching the lazy sea lions, all turned into, well, at least I felt they were all watching me struggling a little bit against this current. But it was the last leg of my cruise back to Sausalito that had me the most nervous. Because to complete my circle, I had to cross the mouth of the Golden Gate. As anyone knows, the prevailing westerlies that funnel between the headlands there and the ocean swell that sweep under the bridge make it a difficult stretch of water and can be nasty. And the fog added to my worry. I hadn't seen a wisp of it all week, but as I sat at anchor in Aquatic Park, the whole bay was covered in a white blanket, and I was a bit anxious as I waited for it to burn off, because as the day wound along, the fog was dissipating, but the winds were picking up. So finally, around 11 o'clock, as the fog slowly lifted, I prepared the boat to go. My stomach was in knots, but I put the sponge in the bailing bucket where I could reach them. I secured everything else that might bounce around and tucked a reef in the sail before I even lifted the anchor, and then headed out of Aquatic Park northward towards Sausalito. Soon enough, the boat was racing along, bouncing over the swell that was coming in under the bridge, and I hiked pretty far out to keep the little boat from heeling too much and taking water over the leeward gunwale. But as I zoomed along, my mood changed because I realized that I could do this without capsizing as long as I paid attention and was careful about it. A few waves did break hard onto the boat over the bow and amidships, but I sailed with one hand and bailed with the other and kept the boat moderately dry. We screamed northward on a close reach, occasionally hitting about 5 knots, according to the GPS on my phone. Alcatraz zoomed past to starboard and then Angel Island, and to the west the Golden Gate Bridge started poking out of the fog with its horns bellowing, and I yelled back and exhilaration. I made the crossing in less than an hour in that 10-foot sailing dinghy, and it felt really good to get into the calm water behind the headlands there in Richardson Bay up by Sausalito and complete the loop. But the real revelation of the whole trip was that there was adventure right there in my backyard. I didn't need to head out to sea to go cruising. Cruising in a very small boat while challenging in unique ways was very much still cruising. Well, that's the story as published in Cruising World, May 2019. Just wanted to share that. Hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again for listening. Please leave a comment on iTunes if you like the show, and you can reach me at outthegatesailing@gmail.com. That's all one word, outthegatesailing@gmail.com, if you have any suggestions or feedback about the show. I'm Ben Shaw, the producer and the host. Thanks again for listening.